Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 741 of Pro Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Pyle, joined today by the dynamic duo of James Dean Rader, Ben Funky Astin. I'm on house arrest for the week. It's okay. I tested positive for a foreign substance.
Wada
came to my house. It was a whole
thing.
We
knew you were on the peds. We knew it.
It's often been accused. It's one of the highest compliments that's ever been paid to me, Ben.
Hey, so if you're in trouble, just blink twice, and we'll send the right people to find you.
All good. Yeah.
You blink, I cut your eyelids off.
Uh-oh. We actually knew Katie was a serial killer.
She's very dangerous.
You do kind of look like you're trapped in a closet, though, and you're kind of in trouble.
It's these wood panel background things because I'm in my bed. And frankly, what's in my bedroom ain't none of y'all's business. So
okay, all right. They're going to make us blush.
Shane.
Hey.
Yeah, Shane Sparks.
No. What a weekend. What a fun weekend of wrestling. There was so much. I loved it. Ben and I and JD and I, we think we watched basically every relevant match possible. There's so much. So, it's kind of hard to keep up with, but the duels were so fun. Got to start with Iowa because I think they're the biggest story out of this weekend because we saw Cullen Shriver wrestle. Now, why is that significant? Well, Cullen is a blue chip recruit, someone Iowans and Iowa wrestling fans are really excited to get him as a recruit, and his redshirt got pulled at 133 when DeSanto didn't wrestle. They had used Ibarra last week, and this week they used Shriver, which made people think, okay, is there something long-term? Is there a long-term issue with DeSanto? Because why would you lose a year of Shriver's eligibility if DeSanto's coming back? So there's only two possible things. One, there's something long-term with DeSanto and Shriver's the guy. Or two, that's just one less year of Cullen Shriver. Those are the only two possible things. Unless DeSanto is so injured. The only option three that could possibly make sense is if DeSanto is injured and going to miss this year and he's going to be able to qualify and come back.
How's he going to qualify when he's already had so many matches? He's had 11 matches this year, Christian.
I don't know. It happens. It's happened. Shakur Rashid got a medical after wrestling a lot of the season before. It's happened
I feel like there was another part of season. I mean, so DeSanto to this point where in year five has missed almost zero time. He's had full schedules every single year. I thought one of the criteria, and I could be wrong on this, for the medical was missing portions of multiple seasons. They would be more likely to give one. Santos wrestled, I mean, like I said, we're halfway through the year already. He's wrestled every single match until this weekend. I don't know what's going on, because it feels like there's no way he's getting a medical, and I don't know why you wouldn't just throw a bar in. So it seems like, yeah, maybe Shriver's going to be the guy for a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach Brand said, hey, don't – the sky isn't falling. He said stay off the message boards, which is often good advice. So I don't know what to read into that. But he also said we got to figure out 133. So what needs figured out is my question, because – you know who your best guy is. If something needs figured out, then that's
something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, and let me throw this out there. The other thing is, not everyone wants to stay in college for 6 years, Christian. I mean, last year did not count against him as a redshirt, but he was in college last year. So maybe he just said, like, hey, guys, I don't want a graduate degree. I'm not going to be here for 6 years. I'm here for 5 years and I want to wrestle. And I think there's a lot of kids who kind of are thinking that way.
If you're Iowa, smoke them if you got them. Use them while you can. You want to put your best team out there, win a duel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe DeSanto's not going to be able to wrestle for a couple weeks. So it's like, hey, let's show Shriver out now instead of against Penn State and RBY.
Yes. So he went 0-2 on the weekend. It would have been a really tough weekend for DeSanto. We were really excited about the Cannon matchup and Lucas Byrd. That's a tough Friday, Sunday for anyone. Shriver went 0-2 against those guys. Well, not. I think he got a takedown against Cannon, I believe, but
yeah, wasn't really close.
No, it wasn't. So if I mean, we'll see who they roll with next week. They have Ohio State this week, and then Penn State the week after that. You got to figure if DeSanto can be back for that, he will be, as they're going to need all hands.
Let's get back to the Iowa duel though, because I kind of thought they were in trouble Friday night. They lose at 43 and they lose at 41. Obviously, both of those are backups or non-starters. And Yaya's the favorite over Max Murin. And I thought Deacon was going to wrestle. I guess I was unaware that he was out. Maybe I'm out. Well, you guys brought up the loop too because we put him in the lines. So, I mean, at that point, they would have been down by about 10 points or so. But Murin upsets Yaya. So Yaya's kind of going back to the 25th seed, I think. And then I'm not joking. Then Deacon ain't wrestling. So Iowa ends up kind of steamrolling after that, except the heavyweight, that ref saved my man Cassiope.
He saved his life, saved his limb. That was a crazy exchange, because if you didn't watch the Davison Cassiope match, Cassiope was caught in a spladle, basically.
He was done.
And I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, he was in that position a long time and didn't go over. I came away thoroughly impressed with the flexibility of one Tony Cassiope. He didn't just hit the weight room. He was working on his pliability for sure.
I feel like he's always been flexible, even when he was big tone.
I feel like we have seen him do splits before.
Yeah.
But, you know, to see a heavyweight in that position, that splital position, but I don't know that he was done. He might have been able to fight out of that.
There's only one way of getting out of that. And Davison, so here's what Davison was doing. Davison was taking it slow, because the only way Big Tone's getting out of that, or anyone for that matter, is if you rush it over, and as you rush it over, you give a little space and they pop their head out the other direction. But if you take that nice and slow, and Davison was taking it, he had 2 minutes. There was no reason to rush this thing. You could take it nice and slow when you got 2 minutes. Put a little Usher on, you know, just finesse that thing over just a little bit.
Put a little Usher on?
Nice and slow. You didn't get that reference. You weren't jamming that to your girlfriend in the late 90s, Christian.
No, I can't say that I was.
Oh man,
I was more of an recording artist, Ben.
I was 97. I thought it was 99. I was wrong. But you put that on for Katie. You know your day might go a little better.
All right, we'll see. All right, maybe we walked up here. Who knows? So I kind of thought Davison's mistake was when he dropped to the ankle, or when he got up to the ankle, that just made it look so much more dangerous and the potential for danger. I'm not saying it's the right call, wrong call, whatever. I'm just saying it looked like his hamstring was going to pop off. So,
well, he needed leverage, because Big Tone was flexible. So obviously the more flexibility they have, the less leverage you can get by being lower. You know what I'm saying? Because the leg is bending, so you need more leverage. So you slide down to the ankle. I thought, especially when they were there, it wasn't like Davison ripped it, you know, he was taking it nice and slow, because he had to take it nice and slow. And obviously if Big Tone's that flexible, he's probably an inch more flexible.
Yeah. So one of the things Davison was missing was stepping over and hooking that other foot.
No, he had the foot.
It didn't look like it. It didn't look like he had stepped over completely.
I'm pretty sure. Do we have footage of this? No, is it on awesome. Big Ten Plus? Hold on, I'm on Big Ten Plus. Let me see if it's on here or not.
It's been half my life on that dang app.
No, it's not. Why did they listen? If it's on Big Ten, it should also be on Big Ten Plus. It's super annoying that it's not. I bet it's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
So, you know, anyways, you do bring up an interesting point. Had Yaya won, and Deacon had wrestled and won, and had Davison finished the duel, maybe could have been close. But as it was, Iowa sort of ran away with it ultimately.
Run away with smash time.
So good win for Murin.
Yes.
Not a lot else to really talk about in this match. You know, Warner looked fine. Abasad beat up on Jack Jessen. And Big Tone is a lot to deal with for 7 minutes, I think, is what we're seeing.
Yeah, and for sure.
Got a little revenge from the freestyle losses to Lucas Davison. He looks good. This was a good test for Tony. Probably is, other than Gable, who just doesn't count for any discussion.
Oh, bro, he's got the leg hooks right here. I wish I could screen. Oh, my God. Dude, you got to see the position. The ref, it's back points when the ref stops it, bro.
That was my thing. He was certainly, if it's not like backcourt, it was danger.
Or danger. In danger. Yeah, dude, it's even worse than what I thought. It's worse than what I remembered, I mean.
Tony was an endangered species there.
I really don't know why the ref is not counting danger at this point.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either.
Tyler, sending you at least a picture.
Yeah, if it's on YouTube, we can watch it, right?
That'll say 1,000 words. I don't think that's how.
I don't think that's the case, but a still shot.
Yeah, because obviously, if he doesn't take it nice and slow, if you guys are watching the match, if you're listening, if he drives with his free foot, right? So one of his feet is okay, right here. Bring this footage up.
Oh yeah, it is super hooked. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So if see that picture right there, Christian. If he uses his right foot to drive too hard, if he pushes super hard, obviously that would get him to go to Tony's left. But if he pushes too hard, there's gonna be so much momentum that Tony's able to kind of like pop through it and pop out, and then Davison will be in really bad position. So Davison's absolutely doing the right thing, taking it slow. And you know, I think the other factor is that you can't see it from this angle, but and if you watch the video, Cassiope's elbow somehow gets his right elbow is kind of way far back there, which is the thing that he's trying to get over, right? He's trying to get over that bump over that to get him to his back.
Wonder how many times Tony Cassiope has been threatened with a spladle in his career.
I would say almost zero.
I'd say one now.
I'd say, yeah, we're at one now. So the other super relevant, we kind of glossed over it. Drake Ayala takes out Michael D'Agostino. He looked great there. He beat
Cardani, yeah.
So he continues to look really, really good. 125 continues to be sort of crazy. McKee lost to Barnett, which is going to throw a wrench in the rankings because Ayala beat D'Agostino. D'Agostino beat McKee.
Classic Ranker's Delight.
The Ranker's Delight. You had to deal with JD, you and Spey. So have fun with that.
Spey already dealt with it.
Thoughts on those should be up. Those should be up right now. We should see how those would do. I don't know.
Barnett, then McKee, then Ayala, then D'Agostino.
Oh boy. I guess that's okay.
What would you do, Christian?
No, I won't say because I would really have to look at it.
Okay.
Barnett, a huge.
Wow, you guys still have Hildebrand. You moved Hildebrand down even farther after not losing. The disrespect, guys. The disrespect.
It's because Barnett came over him.
But Barnett lost this year, and Hildebrand didn't. And Hildebrand finished fourth to his eighth last year.
Hildebrand has wrestled no one on the level of D'Agostino.
It's irrelevant. You guys, I told you this last week. He cannot be held liable for Patrick McKee being a roller coaster. He can't. He took fourth in NCAAs last year. He is undefeated at this point this year. All these other dudes have losses.
He can absolutely be held liable for not wrestling for a semester and getting good wins.
No, because you guys don't hold the same liability to certain other people. You didn't hold Michael Kemmerer to that.
Michael Kemmerer beat Carter Cerracci last year. He's got better wins.
It was the NCAAs, the same tournament of which you're saying is irrelevant to Michael Kemmerer. You're saying is irrelevant to Hildebrand.
It's really irrelevant. Annoying. It's about wins and losses, and
I have nothing to do with Hildebrand. I know I'm indifferent to Penn State. It's just my autism kicking in that you guys are not holding the same criteria to multiple people.
Also, it's different because multiple people came back at 125 that deserve to go ahead of him because they have better wins.
Yeah. No,
Michael
Kimmer. But they really don't.
I think we could pat ourselves on the back here. We had a pretty strong discussion about the tiers at 125, where to put Brandon Courtney. And we kind of felt like he's good, but probably not on the Glory Vito Soriano tier. And Glory beat him pretty soundly. Did you watch this match, Ben?
I did. I was actually very surprised how much better Patrick Glory was than Brandon Courtney. Courtney comes back a little bit at the end, but, you know, he kind of felt like maybe Glory was kind of giving those up a little easier just because his lead was so large. Man, Glory's super clean.
Tired.
What?
I thought Glory looked tired at the end.
He was definitely tired, but if it was one of those matches where it was 2 points, he probably would have fought a little harder, right?
No doubt.
So, but man, he looked good on top. His go behind was super slick. Man, the way in the first period when he just snatched Courtney's leg in, like that was, it kind of showed how much more powerful he was.
I watched that. I was like, whoa.
He just got some juice.
Yeah.
It was impressive because and maybe Courtney wasn't quite ready for it, but he just, woof. And, you know, Courtney almost like his body almost comes underneath him.
Yeah. That to me was one of the more impressive exchanges because it's just not a traditional finish you see. And Glory looked good. I mean, his top work is he got a quick two count, and then he had his four count off that tilt was so nice. And that's what makes him a differentiator. There's no one Glory's level on top at NCAA. No one's as good as he is on top. Barnett is good on top. McKee is good on top. But none of the other big contenders, Soriano is a rider. He's not really a turner. Vito, kind of the same deal. Glory's top work makes him an X factor. But is he gonna be able to get those turns on Vito? Is he gonna be able to get those turns on Soriano? That's what remains to be seen. When is that Cornell Princeton duel? I'll look it up.
I keep clicking over and on my one tab, the 125 rankings are up. I'm still really annoyed that Drew Hildebrand is so low. Freaking hell, Master Giovanni was 2-2 at NCAAs last year, and his best win this year is over McKee, who's a freaking roller coaster, and you guys have him at 5. It doesn't make any sense.
Over McKee,
he beat the guy.
Guys, McKee has beat and lost to lots of people. We can't have one win at NCAAs if McKee loses his status
The NCAA All-American results to be inputted to the rankings. That's what you want.
No. If Hildebrand were to lose, move him down. That's fine. But he's undefeated. And Mastro has one good win this year. I mean, he's got a win over Mancio.
Yeah, that's one more good win than Hildebrand.
Did Mancio even qualify for NCAAs last year? I don't think so. No, he couldn't. They're Ivy. He couldn't have. He's Ivy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think you guys are out of the pocket on this one.
I don't think you understand how rankings work.
My brain hurt, but let's talk about other wrestling.
Yeah, please. Okay, so,
just get Christian. Send me the password, and I'll just get in, and I'll change it.
You rank like you picked this weekend, Ben.
So you guys have one. You guys have one good weekend, and now all of a sudden, you guys. I'm still beating you. I had a terrible weekend. I'm still beating JD.
I know. I really didn't have that good of a weekend.
I got all
either.
Kinds of excuses. You want to hear my excuses? I'm gonna get that sheet.
My excuses was I would have won everyone.
I got so many excuses. I went with Iowa. Iowa freaking crapped the bed. That was hard. I lost. I went 0-3 on the Iowa guys. Thumbs down. Who else? Oh, Miles Amin. You got an Olympic bronze medal. You got to be whooping Caleb Murrow's butt. You can't be going to overtime with him. That's unacceptable. What else do I got? Ethan Smith. That was awesome. You were beating Logan Massa. Don't get freaking your leg bent up like that. That's embarrassing. Jeez Louise, who else? Oh, Jake Woodley, you just got your ass kicked. That was no good. Brandon Courtney, you let me down. And then Minnesota really let me down. I guess it's only 2 minutes. I picked Barnett. The only one to pick Barnett. And then
Gable finally went and redeemed himself against Trent Hoyer.
He finally made a line.
Excuses are for wusses. Spencer Lee is way down, and yeah, it's worse now.
That's funny. I had all the excuses.
I've now taken a commanding lead, 49 wins to Ben's 46 and JD's 43. This is the biggest lead of the season for anyone.
No, I was up by more than that.
I'm declaring it that the fact. And now I have to say it's over because I'm going wire to wire.
I had won 5 weeks in a row or something, so I guess it's time you guys get a W.
So that was fun. Good week. We'll see what happens. The wheels could all fall off this weekend, but it's been fun doing the picks and then following along throughout the weekend. Let's talk a little Penn State. They wrestled Rutgers. Berge is backy. He wrestled at 165, and he looked fine. He didn't look like, oh my gosh, but for our first match back, Clark's no pushover. He looks solid there in that win. How many more points he scores than Creighton Edsel? I don't know. That's sort of
not that many. I must say not that many. 165 is pretty damn tough.
Craziest match of all was this Mike Van Briel Bo Bartlett match. This match was insane.
Oh.
Very, very.
I didn't watch, that one's not relevant to me, so I didn't watch that one.
What? You said you watched every relevant match.
I did. That one's not relevant.
Man, I disagree. You really didn't watch it?
No, I watched Bolsack and Dean. That was a good match.
That was a good
but
match.
Go on about Bartlett.
So Bo had this match won about five different ways. He fought for a reversal when he was all the way away, and he tried to get a reversal, and instead he got ridden out instead of just giving it up. He probably should have had a takedown at the end of the third. I thought he had it in regulation. Then he couldn't get off the bottom. Then he didn't shoot, basically, in a couple minutes of sudden victory.
That's like a whole part of the match.
And then what's interesting, so they go the tiebreakers. They both ride each other out. Then they do another minute of sudden victory. No one really shoots. And then Bo gets ridden out again in the second tiebreaker. And Van Briel just takes neutral in the second tiebreaker, which, you know, some people didn't even realize you could do.
Oni has more ride time. What a genius.
Genius yeah. move. So then he runs for 30 seconds, almost literally, and wins the match, right? And rightfully so.
Thank God I didn't watch that. You wanted me to torture myself or what?
It was actually exciting. I thought it was an exciting match. It was interesting anyway. I mean, and oh, I forgot about this exchange. Was it in over? I think it was in sudden victory number one, JD. Van Briel shoots. No surprise there. Bo's completely out-scrambled him and basically has him dead to rights for either a danger zone takedown or a just
– He put him in danger multiple times but only got a one or two count.
And then he couldn't break the lock and go behind. But it looked like he was in position to score there. So if you're a Penn State fan, I don't think you're too worried about a Van Briel. You know you can win against Van Briel. But Van Briel's obviously tough. We know that I am – me and me alone, myself alone, will ride for Bo Bartlett. These guys are haters, convicted, documented haters. But this guy can still play.
He's the same record he did last year with less bonus.
Convicted, documented hater. I said with you that he could still
I am realistic about the prospects.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, guys. Tyler, you got to be quick with the switches when I sneeze. Hopefully it's not too much. So, yeah, that was an interesting match. Dean had probably his second most interesting match of the season. He had a really close one. Cardenas of Cornell. And then Greg Bolsack.
Bolsack is good, man. He does some really good things.
He's really good. Dean did a good job late to get the win. I think there was maybe a penalty point on Dean that made this a little. Oh, it was locked hands.
It was locked hands, second period.
You couldn't really see it, but there was no real arguments from the state side, so I'm assuming it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
But what do you make of – is this more about Greg being really good than a lapse for Dean, or is it showing that Dean – I feel like
Dude, that scramble at the end of the first period, Christian, was legit. He got that takedown on. He showed flexibility, balance, positioning. He did some really good things.
He knows what he's doing. So my question
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it seemed to be the prevailing thought for 197 is it's Dean Ferrari or Ferrari Dean and then kind of everyone else. After this match and the Cardenas match, do you feel that way, Ben?
No, I don't think I ever felt that way.
You never felt that way? Okay. I felt that way.
No, not with Dean. I mean, Dean's had strange losses. He lost to Foca before he could kind of get knocked off by a few of these guys.
You're talking about freestyle?
Yeah, I am. It's wins and losses. And when you look at this weight class is deep and it's good. Bolsack ran out of gas. He needs a better gas tank, but more likely he just spends a lot of time on top of people. Like he rode the crap out of Amos, and then I think that makes him not use his gas tank all that much. So I think that's a huge note for Bolsack. But like Bastida went to overtime with Buchanan got pinned by Pence. Like, there's a lot of capable people at this weight class who could do really good things.
The Buchanan Bastina match was awesome. It really looked like Bastina was going to win, and then Buchanan gutted it out, got the takedown, and
Yeah.
in
I mean,
overtime, they
it
were
kills
both
you when
so
you
tired.
can't go. When you, and this is like when we talk about three positions in folk style, but when you can't choose bottom, which Bastida, it's, I got an excuse. He did freestyle his whole life. So that's a good excuse for him. But when he has two takedowns and Buchanan has two escapes, and then he can't choose bottom, because if he could choose bottom, then, right, he's going to have, it's going to be 5-2, and he's going to have to give up two takedowns to lose, essentially. But he gives up one, 4-4, sends it to overtime.
So yeah, that's big for Bastida, but he's gonna be kind of a nightmarish kind of guy. If he hits a guy that's not a super good
Yeah.
rider, he could be now Bolsec would be like kind of like a worst case scenario match for him.
I don't know, because like Buchanan didn't really get on top of him until the very end of the match. So I mean, obviously he's not gonna choose bottom against these people, but yes, say if he were to give up an early takedown. But man, I think actually I'm kind of interested to see him in Ferrari, because if you take the first 6.5 minutes of that match, it's 2-0 takedowns against Buchanan. And some of these dudes might not be able to take him down. They might have a tough time taking him down. Well, obviously he already beat number three, Jacob Warner. Jacob Warner had a tough time taking him down. Number five, Stephen Buchanan did. Like, I don't know, Schultz, Woodley, these guys who aren't super dynamic on their feet, they might not get it to. They might want. They honestly might want to choose top.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If I'm Bolsec, why would you
Auto
not?
top.
Yeah, I would. I think that makes sense. So when did they wrestle Oklahoma State January 30th? So that's
That's coming
next week.
up.
So that'll be a
Yeah.
big test. And he has Woodley Friday and then Ferrari Sunday. They're talking about younger Bastida for Iowa State.
Nice.
He's good. He's good. I like watching him
Old.
wrestle. He's come a long way in a little bit of time. I know he's been wrestling a long time, but still. Okay.
Yeah, it's But hey, what is Iowa State doing exactly? Because they're just doing some rando stuff. Did you guys see what they did?
Their schedule?
Yes. They wrestled 2 weeks ago. They wrestled. Hold on, I'm getting this up for you guys. They
MSU,
wrestled
Northern, and
Northwest Kansas Technical College, and then they wrestled MSU Northern. Just getting those
listen,
matches in.
when it comes to scheduling, I trust Kevin Dresser
There's
with
no
my
man I
life.
trust more.
This guy gets it. This
So random. Oh, and they wrestled. I didn't even see this one. There's another one. They wrestled some college called Providence, who I've never heard of.
in Montana.
They beat them 49-0 also.
Used to be called something else. I don't remember it.
Really?
Yes.
But what's
I
with the
can't remember.
rando scheduling? That's not one. This is like the Iowa City Duels, but it's not one rand. It's three rando teams at different days.
Trying to get David
I
Carlett
mean,
Hodge.
yeah. Listen,
Carden
it's just like
Russell.
your Northwest Kansas. Oh, he didn't against Montana. So I don't know. So
No, he
you
didn't
know how
wrestle.
sometimes they'll have these duels in these in the guy's hometown. Deegan,
Yeah.
longtime Cyclone, go have a
Sure.
duel in Montana. I think it's probably something like that. I had to guess.
Huh. All right, fair
Which
enough.
Deegan is 49, Parker down at 41. So that's their lineup is starting to take a little more shape. David Carr remains
Poor
ridiculous.
Ian Parker. He got so massive this summer.
He is pretty big.
Yeah,
But it's like that. You can't shrink bones, so it's tough. But yeah, he's got to go. He's got to go down because Deegan way too big. Okay. Also in the Penn State match, Brooks really dominated John Posnanski. The pause is good, but
wasn't close.
Brooks kind of on a different level. And
That was a good line. You kind of clowned that line, and it was half a point.
I mean, I won,
We all
but
won though. That was one of the few that we all won.
it was
That
half a
one,
point. That's a good line.
it was
Was a
close.
good line.
Bastida, we all won on, and then McGee, we all won on, which that McGee didn't have a line. You know who I'm mad at? Also, who I'm mad at? I'm making more excuses. Olivieri. He lost by more to Bird than
Oh
he did to
yeah.
RBY.
That was a bad
What are you
line.
doing?
That was a bad line.
Top work. Bird's a good top
Man.
wrestler.
Man,
RBY is more of a
Olivieri
takedown
let me down.
guy.
Big letdown.
Oh, poor Ben. Is there anything
These guys
else
are lucky that I'm not their coach because I'd be chewing their ass this week, Christian.
Oh, yeah? Are you a big chewer outer? Is that your thing?
No, I guess not. No, I'm more about holding to standards. I make them tell me what their standards are, and then I hold them to those standards.
You know who got us was Cass and the refs. Because
and the ref.
Cassie will be one by four, and the line was 3.5, and we all picked Davison.
Yep, the refs got us on that one.
So that I will be sending a bill to the referees.
Yep. Yes, even though this entire contest has $0 around it, we still will.
You know who else got me? Peyton Robb. This is weird. Peyton Robb looked terrible against Brayton Lee, and then Brayton Lee looked even more terrible against Garrett Motto. And I went and looked at Garrett Motto.
What the hell, Brayton Lee?
This is a super good guy. But I went and looked at his record because I'm like, man, did I miss something? Did Garrett get a lot better this year? And his record's not really that much better.
That's a trap match.
I did that last week, Ben, with Garrett Model. I was watching him, and I was like, he's kind of tough. Let me look. How's he actually doing this year? And I was like, okay, not great. But I'm telling you, 1 minute in,
his butt.
I'm watching the match with Brayton and Model. And a minute in, I'm like, Caleb, I'm like, there's something wrong with Brayton Lee right now. Like, it was very obvious immediately he was not right. He was, like, cooked from the word go. And then he just got worked for 7 minutes straight. It was totally predictable how it – after that first period, you're like, this is not good. And, yeah, it's weird that he would look so, – I thought he looked good.
It's a hangover match from Peyton Robb.
I did not think he looked good against Peyton Robb. I think Peyton Robb looked bad. I mean – what he didn't take him down in the first period. Wasn't it ride it? He rode him. I did watch his match. I feel like he rode him out in the second period, right?
Well, how did he get three? He won 3-0.
No, it was 0-0. It was 0-0. Robb goes down. Robb gets ridden out on, and wasn't like grinding him. It was a whole bunch of mat returns. And then, so 0-0 ride time. And then Leap chooses down, and I think. Peyton cut him because he knew he had to take him down. Obviously, he wasn't going to ride him out the whole period, I believe is what happened.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what happened, but I watched
I'm not far off. All right, let's see. Where's this damn match at? It's probably on YouTube. Oh my gosh.
You're going to watch Ben watch matches. So, yeah, it was really confusing. I mean, I thought Minnesota as a whole did not look great against Wisconsin. It was sort of weird. But then they still had a chance late. If Foy, if either Brayton beat Model or Foy beat Amos, they could have won. It would have come down to the Gable match. But Wisconsin looked great. I mean, Hamidi, I know he has not faced the rigor, but this kid is just destroying everyone. And he gives up the first takedown. He just keeps wrestling, gets the reversal, cradle pin. He's a nightmare matchup for some of these guys. I can't wait to see him against Marinelli and some of the better 65s.
Yes. Cradle was nice that he locked up. You walked away. I went back and watched it again, and there was nothing really unique. He did what he was supposed to do on the cradle. And obviously he's got a good feel for the cradle, so a lot of times he gets it locked up, he's going to turn it over.
I also think Austin Gomez continues to look fantastic this year. He's got the one loss to Heil, but other than that, he's faced a lot of good dudes and continues to win. Got a little tired at the end, but he wrestled so hard in the beginning against Blockus. Yeah. I was actually like, is this a sustainable pace? And it certainly wasn't. He was going way too hard, but he built himself.
Yeah. Blockus didn't
matter.
Yeah. Yeah, Blockus also did not look good against you guys asked me last week who I would like to coach. Ridge Lovett would be fun. He does some really, really fun things, and he's got a great feel and hips. And I think from a strategic standpoint, there's a couple things maybe he's missing a little bit on. But, man, he's fun to watch wrestle. That was him Friday night. And they almost screwed me on the points because he definitely had a 2-2 situation in the beginning, and they didn't call it.
Here we go. Wine and Ben Askren, they call him.
No, so, he still won. He still won that one.
They wrestle Friday. Austin Gomez and Ridge Lovett.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That's going to be electric.
That's going to be fireworks. Match. Yeah.
Because they're both savages upper body. Gomez gets to that left side underhook so quick. Ridge won't care if he gets there.
No,
yeah, there's gonna be, I don't even know who's favored in that match, honestly.
I don't know. It's I mean, it's, and Ridge is a disaster on top. I mean, he's so tough on top too. But yeah, that like that. Okay, so number one, he has that one scramble where he almost got 2-2, but he gets nothing. And then he actually got taken down at the end of the first period against Blockus. And then he like reaches back and somehow like gets an inside trip from bottom. It was bizarro, but it was after time.
Yeah, he's a wild wrestler, but he's very, very fun. I'm excited to see him take on Austin Gomez. Dude, he's got – actually, Ridge has Austin Gomez and Yaya Thomas this weekend.
He going to beat Yaya.
Just,
Yaya's been looking –
that's just the kind of trap that Yaya Thomas makes people fall
into. He needs something to fire him up because, and so I guess the main reason I would say this was he has Yaya, his shots have been looking a little off. I mean, that's what it was. Gomez was a bunch of re-attacks. And then who else did he wrestle this week?
Muren.
He lost to Muren, but didn't he wrestle another one on Sunday or no?
No, he didn't wrestle off of that. That was it.
Okay. Yeah. He's lost to Muren and Gomez.
Bad results. You're inventing bad results for him. This man.
Well.
So his losses of the year are to Max Muren and Austin Gomez and Sammy Sasso. I think you're overreacting a little bit. Those guys are.
How many
good.
Wins does he have? Well, let me see. Uh-huh. I got stats. He's only got 7 wins.
Well, he's only had 10 matches.
Jaden Abbas is a good win. And Blockus.
Pin for clearing. That's all right.
Blockus ain't a good win anymore. Blockus is 12-9 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying. Listen, I'm not saying Yaya Faraj. I'm saying Yaya hasn't fallen off the wagon. You're saying 25 ranked. No.
I mean, I was obviously okay. Listen, I was citing something that actually happened, and I was kind of saying it in jest. But yeah, I mean, at this point, he's definitely not a top 10 seed.
He's currently ranked 11th in the new rankings.
Yeah, but we know you guys don't know what you're doing. You guys are Penn State haters.
You guys would.
Did we lose CP?
He was trying to talk trash, and I think Tyler cut him off.
Yeah, Tyler gave him the boot.
I'm watching this. I'm right on this Peyton Robb and Brayton Lee match. He's I'm currently watching it, and he's getting his second period ride out. So I'm right. You back, Christian? Well,
I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Okay. I was telling JD that I was right, that there's a 0 takedowns in the first period and then a second period ride out. Peyton Robb tries to Granby significantly too much. I think he tries Granbying like 5 times in the second period and they don't work. So here's where I was wrong. Brayton Lee chooses neutral and gets a takedown. He did. So I thought he chose down and Robb cut him, but he just chose neutral.
Yeah. I thought he got a takedown. There we go.
Yeah.
Weird duel. Pittsburgh beat Arizona State. Arizona State
went 0-2.
Yeah, Arizona State lost to both Princeton and Pittsburgh.
They didn't have all their starters.
In the Pittsburgh duel, they won 6 matches and lost 24-19. They got pinned or gave up pin points in 4 matches.
Crazy, right?
I know for a fact that there have been 6 match teams that lose the duel, but I can't remember the last one I saw. And they lost, like, it wasn't close. It wasn't close, really.
Against Pitt was a stalling DQ. Yeah.
Yes. But, and the interesting thing is, if you're Arizona State, I think you're completely happy with the results of this because you won all the big matchups. Mikhail McGee beat Anthony Valencia beat Jake Wentzel. The other matches weren't really of consequence.
Yeah, you lost, I guess, against Pitt. I was thinking about Princeton. You lost 125 against Princeton.
Yeah. That's a different story.
No, yeah.
And 57.
But obviously you didn't have Hello?
Go ahead. I'm still here.
So I mean, obviously Norfleet and Bonacorsi not happening was kind of a big deal, and that would have changed the outcome of the match.
Yeah, and Norfleet wrestled none this weekend. And we already mentioned the glory win over Courtney. Probably Probably the most significant result of the weekend, I would have to say. Probably the biggest match there.
The Teamer Monday match was kind of boring.
It was really one. Yeah, I mean, it was just one re-attack double from Jacory last 30 seconds. And then Jacory evaded at the end. He got hit for stalling. And that was pretty much it. It was really not a ton there in a match that you probably favored Teamer. Did we all – what was the line for that one?
It was just a pick 'em.
We probably lost. Pick 'em, so we all won. Or not we all.
No, I didn't.
I won, and CP won, and JD did not.
Should have made the line 1.5.
And then, and so that was pretty much it for the Arizona State duels. They go 0-2 on the weekend, but the only real significant damage they take is Courtney losing to Glory 12-6.
Yeah, it's funny because they're such a good team, but even, you know, really it's just one person being out because they have those other, they have those 2 week waits where they lose almost every single time. You know what I'm saying? So they have 74, 81, and even 41 they're not great at, so they lose that a lot. So they're kind of like a weaker dual team because they have those holes.
Yes, yes, indeed. Other results to talk about this weekend. Dylan Shaver looked good against Cardani. He beat him, pulled a little upset there, and then he pushed Hildebrandt. Hildebrandt still won late in that match, but it was a good one. Oh, let's talk Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah, how did we miss that?
I don't know. It just happens. We're just kind of bouncing.
Cut off the weekend.
It's okay. Suriano was dominant against Heinzelman, 11-3, got the major there. Ragusan over Betancourt. Micic looked really good against D'Amelio. Every time I would look up, so we had all the matches going up. Every time I look up, Micic was scoring, and then D'Amelio would do something that would make it sort of like in striking distance. And every time that happened,
he got that takedown in the third period, right? To make it relatively close?
Yes.
Like 9-6 or something to that effect in the third period?
Yeah. So I'm curious what still – we're still learning what Micic is going to be. He's got a monster test this weekend
against
Nick Lee. And I can't –
hopefully.
He's got to be back at some point, right?
Yes.
I mean, at some point. But, you know – how long is he going to be? Because it sounded like it was COVID protocol or whatever. So I would figure he'd be back because I don't think they're keeping him out that long. So, yeah, hopefully we get Micic versus Lee. That's huge. If they don't have Lee for this duel, that it's going to be really in jeopardy if they can win Penn State, although they'll have a chance to do it.
So well, that's going to be a 5-point loss, 4 or 5-point loss if they don't have Lee there.
Yeah, I would agree. Sasso Mattin was interesting in the first period because Mattin got a takedown and he almost had something at the end. And then the refs kind of, I think they messed it up and they couldn't go back because they gave a 2-call. And then Sasso kind of righted the ship and ran away with it. No Cam Amin still against Carson Carson.
Yeah, what's the story there? You guys got any dirt?
He hasn't wrestled since Vegas. I wouldn't expect him back this week either if he's been out that long. I don't know what the story is, though. I have no intel on Cameron. Logan Massa takes out Ethan Smith 10-5 in what was a close match. And then, like you mentioned, Ben, he wrenched him over with that bow and arrow at the very end, and that was, you know, kind of made the match look a little more distant than it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because Ethan Smith was looking good for a minute there. He had really a good first period and a half or so, and then went downhill for him big time.
Yes. Yeah, it did. And Massa looks really good.
Massa looked good.
Only one that beat him to cover. Come on.
He got the cover for JD. Amin Romero was really close, and then they had a blast of an overtime. A couple really nice goals.
I'm going to be on record. I didn't think Caleb Romero was that good. I really didn't. I didn't think he'd be that close with Miles Amin. I'm not disappointed because Amin didn't cover for me, but maybe Romero is actually that good at 184. We'll find out.
Yeah, I think Romero's good. I think this weekend we'll see where Brooks is at versus Amin. I think we're going to I think Brooks is going to win with little issue here against Miles.
Aaron's been down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. With little issue, he said.
I don't know if I'd say with little issue, though.
That's a bold prediction, Cotton.
I mean, listen, that's what we're here to do. I mean, listen, I pick Brooks to win almost everything.
You do.
But you're Brooks homer. I don't. Well, it's worked out for me. He wins basically everything. I think he's taking him down is a real problem. Amin's a freak, though. He's really good. But I think it's a regulation win. I don't think this one's going to overtime. Where I think it gets interesting is Amin's leg attack selection, because I think for as good as Brooks is, generating offense off his leg attacks is probably not his. That's not his primary source of scoring. He's great with re-attacks and counter stuff. He can go get it when he has to. But if Amin slows it down and like really picks his spots on leg attack, that's how I think he could win.
Yes. I mean, I think it's likely to be a one takedown match, one way or the other. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. It's not really in. I don't see that in the cards at all. I think it's going to be one, maybe two takedown. You know, maybe one of them gets one in the second period and the other one's chasing the other one down for the third period, something to that effect. But like, if you told me over under on takedowns and it's 2.5, I'm going under for sure.
So one thing, the match maybe I'm most interested in for the Michigan-Penn State duel is Paris versus Kirkfleet. Let's see, real test for Greg. We're going to see him.
Mason wasn't in the same tier as Kirkfleet.
I don't think he probably is, but I want to see it.
What did you say?
When we were doing tiers, Christian said, Greg Kirkfleet is not on the same tier as Mason Paris. And he thought it was audacious that I put him on the same tier. Opposite.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why I'm most looking forward to it.
Man, I'll tell you, what's Ohio State? Orndorff. Orndorff stopped 2 takedowns, and I thought, damn, okay, is he going to give Mason a match? And then Mason just said, no, not going to happen.
Mason is ridiculous. His ridiculous. Strength. It's interesting. Kirkfleet only weighed like 240 over the weekend, which I thought he was a little bigger than that. I think if he was a little more size, it would help him against Mason. Once Mason gets on top, it's going to be highly problematic still. If Kirkfleet is like just grown that much from the bottom position in a year, I'll be really, really impressed.
Yeah. Is this a case where if it was you would consider choosing top for Paris?
It's unnecessary. I mean, it could be helpful, but he won't have to do that, I don't think. He'll get on top.
Yeah.
Still excited for the match. And Brucky Dean's interesting. I don't know if Brucky presents the kind of stylistic problems that can confound Dean, but we'll see.
Do you think Massa can give Starachi any problems?
Well, he did when they wrestled last year. It came down to, I think it was a tiebreaker match. Oh, man, Starachi's seems to have gotten so much better that I don't know. I mean, so much better, I don't know. He's better.
Wow. Did you realize Sriracha's bonus was so bad last year? His bonus last year was only 25%.
I know. He started out in the Hodge rankings like the first one that I did super low for being a returning champ.
He's got 81% this year, though.
Well, last year he could only wrestle Big Ten people.
And yeah.
That makes true. It a lot harder. His competition was much better. So I think that's part of it. And yeah, he's a little bit probably more dominant too. Excited for that match. Yeah, Massa can do it, but we'll see. Maybe the match I'm most excited, and we're kind of doing a weekend preview. Maybe we shouldn't do that. But I'm so excited. Karchla versus Bull this weekend.
That's we'll be watch party on Friday
this
night.
Weekend? I forgot that.
Friday
night.
So are those duels back to back then?
Yes.
Perfect.
After seeing Bull, do you feel like he's vulnerable because he beat Carlson by 1 point and Keegan beat him by 7, Hamidi pins him. I feel like there's a vulnerability there for sure.
Know. Bull's never been a huge bonus guy. He might major a guy or two, but
What's his turn on top? Like, his go-to turn is, like, he comes out Porter Nelson thing. He tries this, like, you know, that's not really a sustainable source of top offense. So, this is just going to be a neutral battle, I think. We'll see where Karchla's at. I mean, Marinelli could ride him.
No, I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I think it's just going to be a take shot. It's going to be close. A
whole bunch of Matt returns or something.
There's no scenario where in the third period, I can imagine this match isn't in the balance. Someone's within a takedown. That would surprise me.
I agree. In that, how many takedowns line over under? Like, I think if you went 2.5, I'm pretty sure everyone would pick under.
Did you total takedown?
Yeah. Total takedowns in the match.
Did y'all see the tweet from Lefty Strat of Karchla and Biff from Back to the Future side by side? It is uncanny.
Pull that in.
Put it up on the screen.
Yeah, Tyler's pulling it up. If you're listening on Spotify, another you can
stupid,
see it.
Stupid stat from the chat that I thought was fascinating is every NCAA champion since my brother has been either at 184 has either been Penn State or Cornell. How wild is that?
Panther train.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Except Drew Foster. Sorry. Yes, that was the stat. Except Drew Foster.
Okay, that's insane. Look at this. We got Karchla and Biff.
Identical.
They're the
that
same
is Carson Karchla.
Who knew?
Also kind of been when he is fresh out of the shower.
You guys should put you need to get Carson Karchla in that outfit.
Yeah.
We just found Carson Karchla's next Halloween costume.
There it is. It'll be a little dated for his peer group, though. They'll be like, what?
That's good. Well, retro.
Throwbacks. Throwbacks are always in. You want to go to questions? Yeah, we had quite a few.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go. All right. Ping at ping 121822. Should Micić make the cut to 33? No, I think it's a bad idea. I think that'll be an overreaction. And also Ragus. And also the whole reason he came back was so he wouldn't have to cut weight. So for all those reasons.
That's the only reason he came back?
Well, not the only reason. One of the stipulations, I should say. He's like, yeah, I'll come back, but I don't want to cut weight all year. Please let me go 141. Mm. So I can't blame him.
If he wants to win a national title, 133 might be more conducive. I'll totally withhold my judgment at 141 till this weekend because that seems prudent. So let's see how he does against Nick Lee.
The ever prudent Ben Askren.
I'm so prudent. February. Actually, that's not a word that usually describes me.
Yeah, I would agree. February 16th, Columbia, Missouri. Junior world champ David Carr bumps up to 65 to wrestle junior world champ Keegan O'Toole. Who wins? What do we have to do to make this happen?
He ain't gonna do that.
I wouldn't if I were Carr. I'd say I'll see you at the same weight. I'm not gonna let you weigh 8 pounds bigger and then wrestle me.
The advantage would clearly be to Keegan in that scenario.
In that scenario, at a same day 165 or 74 kilograms weigh in, I don't know. That's what I want to see. But that's one of the top NCAA matches to make, in my opinion. And David Carr just continues to be so, so good. I can't wait to see his schedule, you know, him face a couple more elite guys. But, man, he's doing what he should, which is destroy basically everyone in his path.
Except Peyton Robb.
Except Peyton Robb. He's pretty good. He destroyed his heart. Peyton Robb hasn't been the same since that early loss. That was gunning.
Kind of right.
Yeah, weird question from Wick Jacoby. Hey, Pyle, why do you hate Mizzou? I don't hate Mizzou.
Yeah, Pyle, why do you hate Mizzou? Good question, Wick Jacoby.
I don't hate Mizzou. Hater. I love trolling Ben Askren, who loves Mizzou. Listen, we are the flag carriers for Keegan O'Toole. We're saying Keegan for Hodge. We're saying Keegan national champ. We love him. He's a Missouri Tiger. Now, I do have to call spades in the past, you know, with they get these good seeds with the kind of weak schedules, and then it kind of blows up in NCAAs. Factually, these aren't opinions. That's just what happens. I just talk about what happens. So I don't hate Missouri. Brian Smith is probably one of the Bryan Smith probably one of the three or four best coaches in America. What he's done is amazing, and they have a really good team. But yeah, so I don't hate. Look at the sun. I'm being hit with that Texas warmth right now. My takes are
Texas
so soft.
Warm. We're going to be 36 degrees in Wisconsin, nice and warm up here.
Heat wave, brother. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
East Coast got crushed with some snow this weekend. Saw that. All right, which match are you most looking forward to actually watching, not just based on ranking, on the mat? And why is it Lovett Gomez, says Vac Attack?
Yeah, it's Lovett Gomez. That's going to be so much fun. He's right.
Yeah, these guys wrestle just like in the most fun, unpredictable ways. They're both fearless. They both can do a lot of different stuff. I think the one thing that can take this from being super exciting, if you're looking for how, it's does Lovett get a ride going? Does he get on top and eat up a bunch of time on top?
But even his rides are kind of fun, Christian, because he kind of gives the guy space and he's super flexible with his one hip, and then he goes over the top, and then they almost get out, and then he gets a tilt, and you know, he's kind of wild even there.
So Steve Finnery, who is a hammer for American, and he's a coach now. He had a take about leg riders. He's like, man, almost all leg riding is stalling. I would say Ridge Lovett is a prime example of a leg rider who is absolutely not stalling and is often looking for turns. He sets traps. He looks for cradles. Yes. He does a lot of stuff.
There's a Ridge lot of leg riders that I disagree with that take strongly. Tell Steve Fitter I'm offended. I'm not even a leg rider.
I was a little offended too. I mean, Greg Balsek is definitely a turner with legs. They're
Evan
out
Wick's
there.
A turner. There's turner. Zane was a turner. There's turners, man. There really are with leg riding. I would be curious to see. And I think a crossroads tilt would probably be number one. I'd have to venture. But what the list? If we said most points on top in Division I college wrestling, I think crossroads tilt is going to be number one for sure. And below that, I would be curious to see where it goes, because like with cradles, for example, lots of times those turn into pins, so there's no back points.
Okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying? So they would be separate lists, Christian, right? You'd have a list of back point scoring holds, and then you'd have a list of pinning holds. Obviously, like with the tilt, that's going to be really, really low on the pinning hold side, but it's going to be very high on the points.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Cradles. Also, do you count them? Would you count the ones that occur from neutral too? Because they're not necessarily.
I think you'd have to take those out. And so obviously on top from the top position, you're going to have significantly more outside cradles than inside cradles. Whereas in the scrambles, it's going to be almost exclusively inside cradles. There are some inside cradles from top, but not nearly as many. A lot of them are guys doing bad quad pods and they get out of position and boom, they slap it on. Yeah, that would be a fun list. Flow should make that. I wonder if, you know, what's that one company, Quant? I wonder if Quant has a list on that.
Let them do it. We'll just buy that. It's because it would take someone's.
Yeah, buy that. Actually, they wanted you to buy them a while back. I mean, they have some pretty cool numbers. I like numbers.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
Because I want to know what the truth is, right? Most people don't actually want to know what the truth is. Most people just want to feel their own intuitions and think they're brilliant and they're smart and what else. But I want to know what the truth is. If I'm wrong, I want to know that I'm wrong.
The truth is out there. X-Files. Next question. Andrew Escueta. Soriano seemed to pick up his attack rate. Are we seeing an evolution in his offense?
I don't think so.
No. I think certainly incomplete information at this point. Yeah. When I see him against a tier one guy with that kind of an attack rate, I could say evolution. Until then, no, I think he looks really good. But what we've
really
seen,
good.
His hair, his flow is
out
of
an evolution
right
of flow.
Now. That's a flow evolution for sure. Can Michigan be attributed to that? We'll see. Michigan's trainer, yes, we've seen his hair. It is the best hair in America right now.
Undisputed.
Suriano's matching it. But I think it's you can't make that assessment on Suriano until we see him against a Vito, a Glory, even a Courtney type of guy. Because it's one thing to score a lot of takedowns on Malik, those kind of tier two, tier three guys, but Until then, I'm not ready to go there yet.
I
and
agree.
He's still my people in it, but I would not say evolution yet. Next question. Logan Storley fights Neiman Gracie on February 19th. Will I tune in to watch the former Golden Gopher? I don't know if I will or won't. If I'm around, I probably
Christian's
will.
Not a big fight fan.
You know, I root for the, you know, I'll watch all Picos. If Ben comes back, I'll watch him fight. I'll watch Cormier, but he's pretty retired. So yeah. I don't watch a lot. I enjoy every time I do it. It's quite a commitment, you see. And wrestling's better, so why wouldn't I just watch a lot of that?
Yes.
But yeah, go Logan Storley. Hope he kills it. He's a guy I remember. He was taking like amateur fights in college, or maybe even like high school. He was like doing the taking fights. So he's been in the game a long
time. You see who else had their debut last weekend?
Kevin Teasdale.
Who?
Yep.
Oh, how'd he do?
I don't know.
I did not see that. I'll look it up for you guys. Logan, Logan's 12-1. So he lost to the guy. His only loss is to the guy who then he was not the champ at the time, but he would go on to be the champ in Bellator. So
okay,
and it was a split decision loss. So I'm assuming if he wins one or two more, he would then have a rematch against that guy. Would be my guess.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Go Logan Storley, I say. Trevor Brunson. Wow. Does it bother you that the FRL feed that they simultaneously run ads for Little Caesars? So I don't actually see the ads.
I don't see that either.
But I know that they happen. And this guy says pizza chains are a big contributor in the U.S. obesity problem.
That's true.
No, it's not. Discipline is the biggest contributor to the U.S. obesity problem.
Well, if we didn't have pizza, I'd be like a pound or two skinnier, Christian.
Yeah, that's on you, Ben. Listen, you know what I love about Little Caesars? I didn't even know. I don't know if they're an actual advertiser or not. But Hot and Ready, $5. Back in the day, that's a great deal. It's not only is it hot, it's ready. You just walk in there.
Not only is it hot, it's ready. Did you get paid to run this spot or what?
Listen, no, not at all. I get no Little Caesars.
Paid for by Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, Johnny
Little Caesars number one supporter.
He loves Little Caesars. Come on, Ben.
Hey, Teasdale is not. He doesn't fight till Teasdale doesn't fight till February.
So, from my name of Jeff, he said, "Upset City, are the team trophies in more contention than we thought originally?" I'm assuming Jeff is referring to the Arizona State losses. And you know they had a trophy last year.
Good dual team.
Yeah, there's not a good dual team. That I think it more than anything it reveals the difference with dual teams versus tournament teams and how. You know, you can't win with a
team.
You know,
if you're going to be good at duels, you got to have a full team. It's actually a team competition. Probably the best way to determine what the best team is.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's the best way to create some results like Pitt and Princeton over them, but we'll see. I don't know. I do think there are a lot of teams that could do it. One thing that'll make it interesting, if DeSanto's out,
I was in trouble if DeSanto's out because Ironman has not been looking good this year either. That's
Kimmer's hurt, obviously. He still looked.
Kimmer
still
hasn't looked great.
Kimmer is still
great. I'm sorry, Kimmer.
Kimmer's looks solid.
Yeah. I think he's looked great. He's killing everyone. His first match was a little slightly shaky. Then he's killed everyone else. I think he has like a peck and a peck. Attacking two pins, if I'm remembering correctly. Okay. Why is the 125 kilogram spot TBD for February 12th? Talking about cable. The ballot. Well, because, I think that because they don't know who's going to wrestle because they want Gable and he may not be available. And is Gwiz, or where's Cornell on February 12th? Cornell, wrestling schedule.
For the record, USA Wrestling sets this lineup, not Flow Wrestling.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, there's now Gable, Gable's going to do it if he wants to do it, but there's not really a lot of upside for Gable given the fact that he's not going to continue to wrestle after the NCAA championships this year. And the loss would be more negative than positive, but I don't think that he thinks about it in those terms. I think he just enjoys competing, and I think we'll probably see him on February 12th.
Hope so.
Oh, really? That'd be sick. I don't know.
I think so. Will. I think he wants to. Okay.
So
why? You know something we don't know?
No, I don't know nothing.
Okay.
I don't know. Binghamton is who Cornell wrestles that week, February 12th. So I don't know if he would miss that or not. I mean, if you're Gwiz, are you really signing up to wrestle Zare again? That doesn't sound like a fun hang.
Oh.
I'm not. I'm not wrestling on Gable either.
Let's give him let's bump Ferrari up for Team America.
Oh my gosh, he'd probably love that.
Cowboys double duty in. Double duty.
Yep.
It's pretty epic to win that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's not as epic if DeSanto doesn't wrestle, unfortunately.
True.
Because Shriver's a warm up for
at Worlds, they were literally talking about doing both. I remember after he won, because it kind of got announced in conjunction right over Worlds, and they're like, yeah, he wants to do both. So he wanted to even before DeSanto was having whatever is going on with DeSanto. And Kevin Mulder, I'm going to Michigan Penn State this Friday. What's it going to take for Michigan to win this duel? We'll probably get into that. I mean, there's a ton of swing matches where Penn State's favored. They got to win a good many of them. They're going to need a Massa win or a – they got to hold in the matches they're supposed to. So Paris needs to win.
Yep.
Luan needs to beat Tony Negron, which is going to be a competitive match. They need Cam Amin to wrestle. They can't afford to lose that match. They need Suriano to win. They could use Kanan Storback to beat Bo Bartlett. And I wouldn't anticipate that being the case. Cole Matton will probably be in a one takedown match with Bo Bartlett, though. I think we can see that. So they need to win 49, and then they need to win some combination of 74, 84, 41, one of those where they're sort of in the balance, but they're not. It's going to be a really, really good duel. It's in at Michigan as well, which is exciting for the Michigan fans. Michigan getting a lot of great action. This year they get NCAAs and this duel, so should be a fun one. Okay, boys, anything else before we
there was a question in the Facebook chat from Larry Steele. He said better chance of happening. He said Penn State with 5 NCAA champs or Iowa with 1. I think the clear option there is Iowa with 1 probably, but if we move the line Iowa to 2, Penn State with 5 or Iowa with 2, which is more likely?
Shoot. Man, I feel like both of those are unlikely, but you're still looking for which has the greater percentage. Penn State would. So Penn State's 5 champs would have to be
33.
Dean or Kirkley, because you're going to have, given the 4 that they already have. Oh, man.
Iowa's 2 best options are 65 and 74, probably.
I feel like those aren't really great options.
I think Iowa has a better shot at 2 than Penn State 5.
With who? So which 2 would you pick?
Well, I don't have 65. To pick 2.
Well, just give me your options. 65, 74, 41?
Ironman, Bull, and Kimmer. It's those three. Comment those three. Because I think Roman's going to lose to Dayton. I feel kind of strongly about that this year. We'll see.
Wow. Penn State hitter.
Obviously Nickley, no. That's not true. I do think they're going to win 74, 84, and right now 41. I think you've got to pick Nick Lee to win. You know, Ironman's not look great there. So, yeah, but I don't – 5 is really tough to get to.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think Dean, they're both really, really, really low percentage things. Like if you said – percentage chance Iowa has 2 champs, or percentage chance Penn State has 5 champs. I think they're both under 5%.
Remember how shocked we were last year when it was 4?
Yeah.
When they got 4?
It was sort of, well, because at Big Ten,
they reversed the result of 41 and 74.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. 5 would be a real I mean, another feather in the cap.
I
still think it's going to be really tough.
I'm going to say Penn State, not Iowa.
You would. That's because Iowa jammed up all your picks last week, and you're mad at them.
They did. They let me down. They didn't come through. Can't trust them. Uh-oh. Christian froze again. You're going to have to close this out, JD.
Is that it? Is he gone?
It looks like he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Christian can't be trusted.
He's kind of frozen in a funny pose there, huh?
He just makes funny poses.
He kind of looks like a mannequin a little bit.
A little bit. There you go. One last screenshot. All right, but that'll do it for today's show. I guess I'm signing off now. I'm in the studio. I control it. I'm king of the castle. But thanks for a fun show, everybody. For Christian Piles at home, Ben Askren at home, and me holding it down in the studio. We'll see you again tomorrow morning.
I'm back in time to say goodbye. See you guys.